You're listening to Turkish Football Weekly, available on the World Football Daily Club podcast feed. If you're a member of World Football Daily, you can go to the site and stream the show anytime to your computer, mobile phone, or tablet without having to download or sync anything. If you're not a member of World Football Daily, just search World Football Daily Club podcast in the iTunes store and download the World Football Daily Club podcast feed for free. Enjoy the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turkish Football Weekly for the week of December 5th, 2013. My name is Atta Dizdar, and returning to the podcast after a week hiatus is Jeremy Chapman. Jeremy, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was fantastic. Thanks for asking. I went home for Thanksgiving, but I left the country for Thanksgiving weekend. I guess Black Friday is not really my thing, and by leaving the country, I mean, I went to Canada. For some people, maybe that doesn't really count, but it was fantastic. I spent a chilly weekend in Quebec City. What about yours?
I just stuck around here in the local area and just watching the news about Black Friday and, you know, the whole stampedes at Walmart and that sort of thing. Did you watch the South Park, by the way? The whole South Park series on Black Friday?
No, I think I'll have to give that a watch.
Yeah, it was actually pretty funny, you know, going to war against Xbox Ones and, like, PS4s.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. Let's get to the Turkish Super League. We'll start with Week 13 results of the Turkish Super League. Friday and Saturday results were as follows. Elazığspor loses at home to Bursaspor 2-1, and Sivasspor loses to Antalyaspor 3-0. Saturday's results saw Kayserispor and Akhisarbelediyespor play to a 0-0 draw. Gaziantepspor in Ankara beating Gençlerbirliği 3-1. And Fenerbahçe and Beşiktaş playing to a 3-3 draw. And I gotta say, if you did happen to miss Fenerbahçe versus Beşiktaş, you missed a hell of a matchup, because it just seemed to me as if the referee just let a lot of things go. I mean, he really did keep the game in line, and there were just a lot of excitement and, you know, just back-and-forth action. And the interesting thing about it was that right in the 30th minute, Raul Morelos gets a direct red card for his studs to the leg of Veli Kavlak. And I did happen to read an article that said, you know, Kavlak didn't think that it really warranted a red, but to me it seemed as though that, by the letter of the law, that is a red card. You know, anytime you see studs to the leg or any part of the body, that is your basic direct red card. And then Necip Uysal getting two yellow cards in the 54th and 69th minutes came in as a sub for Veli Kavlak in the 50th minute. But, you know, in terms of the goals, you saw Olcay Şahan getting the scoring started for Beşiktaş in the 9th minute, Emmanuel Emenike in the 12th minute tying it up, and then Musa So scoring for Fenerbahçe to give them the lead, and then Hugo Almeida with two goals right at the tail end of the first half to put Beşiktaş up 3-2 at halftime. And then after Beşiktaş's red card to Necip Uysal, you saw Dirk Kuyt scoring in the 83rd minute, and really a back-and-forth matchup, and it was just really insane to watch, but definitely the right result here in terms of, well, who really deserved to win. I think this was the right result, a 3-3 draw, really capping off a heck of a matchup.
Yeah, this match seemed to have everything. I mean, you had goals that were canceled, you had, you know, balls off the woodwork, cards of all colors, obviously. It's actually the third game in a row in which Beşiktaş has found three goals. I didn't think they were going to be able to do that against the likes of Fenerbahçe. But, and then the fact that Fenerbahçe didn't get walloped despite being a man down for a large portion of the game is almost getting a point out of it is a victory for them. And anytime you get a point, you know, out of a match with Fenerbahçe in Kadıköy, you have to also pat yourselves on the back. So, but I think both teams can kind of take away feeling pretty good about the results. This was fireworks the whole way. It really, it was really more exciting than the Galatasaray Fenerbahce derby from a few weeks back.
It seemed to me as though that since that direct red card to Morelos, Fenerbahce was actually playing better than Beşiktaş with 11 men. It just seemed as though that it was almost like a wake-up call for Fenerbahce. And let me put it this way. I saw that Beşiktaş kind of was good at the beginning and at the end of the first half, and Fenerbahce was good during the middle part of the first half. And the second half pretty much was a reflection of the first half. Beşiktaş played really well during the beginning and end of the second half, and then Fenerbahce was playing really well during the middle portion of the second half. So it just seemed to me as though that Beşiktaş really could have taken advantage of the direct red card to Morales and being 11 on 10 until the 69th minute, but it seemed as though maybe the turning point of the match was probably Necip Uysal getting his second yellow card right in the 69th minute.
Yeah, obviously Fenerbahce, I feel like they definitely needed that to happen in order to really stand a chance. They were trying to play a patient game. They weren't rushing the equalizer at all, and really just hoping for Beşiktaş to slip up, which, you know, having a man sent off is definitely would definitely qualify for that. So, you know, they held out and kind of waited for something to happen in their favor. Eventually it did. That was something they needed, but it was impressive that they were able to keep their cool. Probably helped that the stadium, was supporting them in it. But like I say, you can almost count it as a victory for them, even though by Fenerbahce standards these days, certainly anything short of victory tends to go against expectations. Really, this of course snapped a 5-game win streak for Fenerbahce, but still, they can come away feeling like, you know, they played it. They played this one a bit like a chess match, you know, moving players around when they go down a man and playing the waiting game. And eventually it kind of worked out. This was everything you said is true about this match. It was just a thriller and, you know, one of the best games of the season, really.
Just one quick question before we move on to the rest of Saturday and Friday matches. Did you think that we saw the second yellow was more of a makeup call, you know, just to kind of even it out by the referee?
Yeah, I didn't. I thought it was kind of a soft yellow. And makeup call, though, I don't know about that. I mean, there were some, I guess, no calls, you'd call them, in the first half about, you know, sort of alleged handballs in the box and things that Beşiktaş might have gotten away with. But, yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, You might be right that it wasn't making it. It just seemed like kind of a weak call to give anyway, so that could be the logic behind it. But usually you kind of watch for that kind of thing when there's been, you know, a major blunder of a call or something like that. But I didn't think any of the sort of no calls or whatever were that bad or anything like that. That's a good question, because I really don't know the answer. It could have been.
Yeah. Maybe I kind of misspoke and said a makeup call, or maybe it was just maybe the referee was trying to even things out. You know, you get these things in soccer matches where, you know, the referee tends to even things out. But let's move on to the other results. Gaziantepspor going 2-for-2 under Sergen Yalcin in league play as Bekir Ozan Haas and 2 goals from Abdou Traore scoring the goals for Gaziantepspor. They're back-to-back losses for Genshir Birliği in the league after a 3-match winning streak. And we look at Friday's matches. Sivasspor back-to-back losses as Lamine Diarra, Emre Başsan, and Isaac Promise scoring the goals for Antalyaspor there. And when we look at the Elazığspor-Bursaspor match, you know, Elazığspor, you know, it's still pretty dire for them. Their losing streak in the league has hit 9 matches in a row. You know, Taye Taiwo off a penalty in the 17th minute, and Fernando Belushi in the 70th minute scoring the goals for Bursaspor there, while Deniz Yılmaz scoring the goal for Elazığspor in the 61st minute. In the 58th minute, we saw Pape So of Elazığspor and Serdar Aziz of Bursaspor both see direct red cards. Now, I was just kind of looking at it. I really didn't kind of see how they deserve direct red cards. I thought maybe you could give them kind of yellows. I think we were talking about this before the podcast recording started. And, you know, you were saying that it was maybe worthy of a yellow, but maybe not a direct red. I mean, it was kind of hard to see. Maybe they threw fists at each other. Maybe they were almost getting into a scuffle. But maybe the referee in that match thought, okay, I better not let this get out of hand and just chuck both of these guys out. And a couple of quick notes about the Kayserispor Akhisar Belediyespor match. Kayserispor actually had to play 47 minutes down to 10 men when Clayton got two yellow cards in a matter of seconds of the 43rd minute. He got a yellow for a tackle, and then he gave a nice little clap to the referee, and then the referee just whipped out another yellow and just sent him off. And Akhisar Belediyespor, you know, you were always talking about, you know, their road record is pretty bad. You know, still have yet to win a road game in the league, and you've been mentioning this in your little, you know, stat box, if you will. They still haven't scored a goal on the road in the league so far this season. So, I mean, what's the deal with Akhisar Belediyespor on the road?
Yeah,
but
if you can't score while you're up a man for, like, the entire second half against a struggling Kayserispor, I mean, really, let's be real about Kayserispor. Okay, yeah, they had just come off a win, but it was only their second win of the season. I mean, this was a real opportunity for Akhisar Belediyespor, and I was waiting for the score on my phone to change, and it just didn't. I don't know why they're sort of the contrast of their performance when they play at home versus on the road is so high, but you'd expect them to at least get a goal out of it, and you know, the fact that they haven't scored a goal on the road is kind of the reason why I've never actually mentioned Gençler Lerberli's poor road goal scoring record or Konyaspor's you know, fantastically bad road record. It's just because it just doesn't really get any worse when you can't find a goal. You know, give the away fans at least a goal. Okay, you don't have to win.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, it kind of doesn't make any sense. You were talking about, you know, Gençler Billy's road woes and, you know, Konyaspor's road woes. And what's the comparison here? I mean, comparing their road records to Akhisar Belediyespor's road records, it's just, you know, we've always said Akhisar Belediyespor has been night and day when it comes to road games versus home games. And even though they lost at home the previous week against Kayserispor, Akhisar Belediyespor, We tend to highlight them more than, you know, Gençler Birli and Konyaspor, like you mentioned, because we look at their home record and then we look at their road record, and it's like, well, why haven't you guys scored on the road yet? I mean, much less getting a win on the road. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
That's true. And you know, while we're on the subject, I mean, Konyaspor has a similar contrast home and road record, and Trabzonspor as well, actually. Incredibly sharp contrast between their home and road performances. But it's just, you know, almost halfway through the season and you haven't scored on the road. That's just so striking. Actually, you know, Akhisar Belediyespor's road record is technically better than Konya's because they've managed to get a couple of scoreless draws on the road, Akhisar Belediyespor, and Konyaspor's only managed one draw on the road by comparison. But it's just that one glaring statistic, and all they need to do is get a goal, and that'll shut me up about it. But so far
it'll shut both of us up about it.
I know, right? But I'm still waiting.
Yeah, it's just weird that we see that Gençler Birli and Konyaspor are actually worse on the road than they are at home. And although Gençler Birli did lose to Gaziantepspor, and, you know, kudos to Sergen Yalçın, he's giving Gaziantepspor some sort of purpose.
Man, did you see the Antep goals, though? Like, all three of them were amazing.
Right.
Especially the first two. That was incredible from them. And was it any surprise to you that Sivasspor got walloped by Antalya? I mean, they were missing, like, nearly a third of their guys, I guess, due to all those red cards in the previous match against Galatasaray. And then Antalyaspor, I mean, it was like, it wasn't like they got lucky three times. I mean, I guess you could say the second goal was a nice gift of the Sivasspor defense. But, you know, Antalya pretty much, you know, dominated that match. It was never close.
Yeah, once you put it that way, it doesn't seem so surprising that Antalyaspor beat Sivasspor, considering, you know, they had three players, had red cards. But, yeah, so it doesn't seem that surprising. Why don't we move on to Sunday and Monday results, then? Sunday's results saw Trabzonspor beating Kayseri Erciyesspor 3-1, Eskişehirspor and Karabükspor playing to a 0-0 draw, and Kasımpaşa and Galatasaray playing to a 1-1 draw. And in Monday's only result, Konyaspor beats Rizespor 2-1. So Florent Malouda, Cem Can with an own goal, and Olcan Adin scoring the goals for Trabzonspor. Yasin Istikin scoring the only goal for Kayseri Erciyesspor in the 59th minute. Trabzonspor winning 3 out of their last 4 in the league. Karabükspor actually extending its unbeaten run to 5 matches. They've had 3 draws and 2 wins in that span in the league. And Eskişehirspor have only won 1 out of their last 4 league matches. An interesting statistic there. Before we get to the Kasımpaşa Galatasaray match, quick notes from the Konyaspor Rizespor match. Ömer Ali Şahiner in the 49th minute and Godfrey Oboabona scoring an own goal in the 81st minute with the goals for Konyaspor there. Oboabona did score the only goal for Rizespor, and Rizespor's slide continues ever since we talked about their flying start by week 5. It just seems as though they really tailed off. You know, Konyaspor winning 2 out of the last 3 league matches. We're seeing, Rizespor on that slide. It's not going to get any easier for them this coming weekend when they have to play Fenerbahce. And obviously with Fenerbahce's loss in the Turkish Cup, slight spoilers ahead in the Turkish Cup this week in the 4th round, they're probably going to be facing a very angry bunch. But for Rizespor, it's like, so we were talking about how good they were doing, and now all of a sudden they've just slid all the way down to almost near the relegation zone.
So I've got 2 things to say about that, actually. I'm really glad you brought it up. I mean, the first thing is, just to get this out of the way, I felt like Konyaspor did kind of luck out in this one. Both goals were actually started by free kicks, which were just terrible calls by the referee. I mean, it was just, there was nothing in them. But okay. Letting that go, the second goal was an own goal. I mean, the second Konya goal was an own goal. I mean, it was a sloppy, sloppy win for them. I felt Rizespor kind of, were unlucky, but maybe luck saved them from losing by worse, you could say. But Çaykur Rizespor reminds me of it, as you're talking about how they started the season so well and then flopped. You remember Orduspor last weekend, right? Like, Orduspor last year.
Well, you mean last season? You said last week.
Sorry, I definitely meant last season. Seems like it was just last week. But no, you remember Orduspor last season?
Oh yeah.
They didn't lose until week 9, but we're not talking about Orduspor this season because they totally got relegated. Like, they didn't lose a match until week 9. That's crazy. And then they just went on a nosedive. Çaykur Rizespor, they won 4 of their first 5 matches to start, and they haven't won a game since. So it's just sort of a similar pattern of this. You get like a recently promoted team, right?
Well, in comparison, Orduspor were in their second straight season in the Turkish Super
League.
That's
true. They hadn't just been promoted, but I mean recently promoted. And in any case, they get off to a great start. You're wondering how long they're going to be at the top of the table, and then they're relegated.
Yeah.
So hopefully Rizespor doesn't go the same route as their Black Sea friends over in Ordu, but, by falling to the same fate, basically, it's just an interesting phenomenon that doesn't happen that often, right? But I think in this case, though, I just felt like Çaykur Rizespor were a little bit unlucky in this one. And then, of course, as you mentioned, they've got to take on Fenerbahce, and I don't have a lot of hope for them this Saturday.
Right. And you remember you were talking about Konyaspor's road record? I know they played at home this past week, but you were talking about their road record. They have a road record of no wins, 1 draw, and 5 losses. They're actually worse than Akhisar Belediyespor, but the only difference is Konyaspor have actually scored 5 goals on the road. So that's an interesting statistic there. But let's move on to Kasımpaşa against Galatasaray. All the pundit shows were talking about how, Galatasaray missed a chance to, close the gap with the leaders. But somewhere in the back of my mind, I was thinking, maybe we should be talking more about how Kasımpaşa didn't close the gap on Fenerbahce, because Fenerbahce gets a draw, but both teams with a golden opportunity to close the gap or move up in the table, but they couldn't take advantage of it. Sanharib Malki in the 11th minute scoring for Kasımpaşa. Burak Yılmaz with the tying goal for Galatasaray in the 60th minute. I did like Drogba driving up the goal line to set up Burak Yılmaz, by the way. Back-to-back draws for Kasımpaşa that ironically ended 1-1. Their unbeaten league run is now extending to 7 matches as of the recording of this podcast. And here's a really interesting statistic. Actually, the 20 matches that I'm going to mention it will be part of the Turkish Cup, so I'll slight spoilers ahead. But in all of Galatasaray's competitive matches this season, they have only shut out their opponent in only two of those matches. So that's actually kind of interesting. You know, Galatasaray, you know, they're kind of up in limbo right now. And Kasımpaşa, I think, like, maybe they're the kind of guys that will really rue the opportunity to close the gap over first-place Fenerbahçe at this point.
Yeah, that's a really interesting statistic. I mean, the only other team that is worse than that in the league in terms of few clean sheets is Elazığspor, which has only shut out their opponents once. Yeah, Galatasaray tends to give up goals. And then looking at it from the perspective of Kasımpaşa, they've scored in seven straight. So they, you know, and only one other team has done that at this point, which is Bursaspor. But anyway, Kasımpaşa finding goals, Galatasaray, this was a really good matchup, I thought. And, you know, as you mentioned, none of the teams really in the top, you know, three or four were able to gain ground on Fenerbahce since they all got into draws except everyone below them. You could say the bottom two-thirds of the table definitely really did benefit from the top four teams all getting themselves into draws over the weekend. So those gaps were closed a little bit, but not up at the top. And I agree with your point. Kasımpaşa also missed an equal opportunity to gain a little on Fenerbahce as they hold their position in second place just behind Fenerbahce. They had just as much to lose as Galatasaray. But I thought that was a really good matchup. It was just sort of the derby was so much more distracting, was so much more like still reeling from that incredible match that it was kind of hard to take notice of the others.
Yeah, I think we all had derby hangover because of how well played the Fenerbahçe-Beşiktaş match was. And, you know, you were mentioning Elazığspor earlier only shutting out their opponents once this season. I believe that is all competitive games, which is including the Turkish Cup as well, correct?
Interesting. Yeah, it might be. I didn't look at their Turkish Cup record.
Okay. But in my format, I wrote that all competitive matches. So I included the Turkish Cup, I did include the Champions League, and I did include the Super League. And I found that over Twitter. I believe one of the guys at Cumhuriyet newspaper wrote that on his Twitter account. So I thought that was just an interesting statistic there. Let's move on to the standings after 13 matches in the Super League. Fenerbahçe in first place with 32 points. Kasımpaşa 6 points behind with 26. Beşiktaş is in third with 25 points. Galatasaray and Trabzonspor have 23 points. Galatasaray has the better goal differential. They have a +6 compared to Trabzonspor's +5. And rounding out the top six is Sivasspor with 22 points. Down at the bottom, we see Gençlerbirliği with 13 points, Kayseri Erciyesspor with 12 points, Kayserispor with 10 points, and Elazığspor down in the cellar with 7 points. And Çaykur in 13th with 15 points. They're 3 points away from the cellar. You know, we were talking about them earlier. You know, they're 1 point ahead of Gaziantepspor, who are 14th with 14 points, but we were making the comparison with Orduspor last season. You know, Çaykur maybe they might be the order sport of this season. You know, it's not going to get easier for them going into this upcoming weekend. And, you know, looking up at the top half of the table, it's getting closer between second and sixth. But Fenerbahçe with a healthy gap of 6 points up at the top. And, you know, looking down in the middle of the table, you got Eskişehirspor in 7th with 20 and Bursaspor in 8th with 18. So that might be able to be switched around this weekend, considering, you know, Bursaspor is taking on Gençlerbirliği, who are reeling off back-to-back losses. And then also you've got Eskişehirspor playing Kayseri Erciyesspor, who are obviously struggling, you know, struggling to score goals and things like that. So, you know, looking at the standings, and we could transition into the week 14 schedule after that. I mean, what stands out to you in terms of the standings?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously the fast fall of Rizespor is something to note. Akhisar Belediye, they're currently in their worst position in the table that they've been all season, in 11th now. They were definitely looking quite a bit better, but they haven't scored in the last four matches, not since they played Beşiktaş that 3-3 draw. So, you know, we talk about how well they play at home and how badly they play on the road, but lately they just haven't been playing that well at home either. And so that's something else that kind of stands out. Gaziantepspor still has my attention ever since they were, they were at the bottom of the table for a while, and then they didn't, they were sort of that team we were wondering if they were ever going to find anything. They're still above the relegation zone now, so and Bursa and Antalyaspor are actually in their highest positions of the season in the table in eighth and ninth. Right there, Bursa and Antalya. So, we're starting to see some reversals of the trends, I guess, where some teams which are doing really well at the beginning have been kind of steadily falling, and whereas like Bursa and Antalyaspor have been kind of finding some form finally, and never too soon to do that, but they're really going to have to maintain if they want to, contend for a European spot. And, and when we get to the Turkish Cup, of course, there's still contenders in that. So starting to look a little better for some of our Anatolian friends.
Right. So let's head to week 14. The week 14 schedule is as follows. Friday, December 6th, Galatasaray hosts Elazığspor. Saturday's matches will see Antalyaspor hosting Kasımpaşa and Rizespor hosting Fenerbahçe. Sunday's matches will feature Akhisar Belediyespor hosting Konyaspor, Bursaspor hosting Gençlerbirliği, Karabükspor hosting Kayserispor, and Gaziantepspor hosting Trabzonspor. And Monday's matches will feature Kayseri Erciyesspor facing Eskişehirspor and Beşiktaş hosting Sivasspor. So, Galatasaray, they should be able to beat Elazığspor. I mean, I haven't seen anything from Elazığspor, in terms of their attack. That makes me think that, Galatasaray will have any problems with Elazığspor. I mean, I fully expect Elazığspor's losing streak to hit 10 matches in the league. So that's one thing I'm probably going to be watching out for. Rizespor and Fenerbahçe, Rizespor, we were talking about them earlier ad nauseum. It's not going to get easy for them. But you're looking at Sunday and Monday matches. Beşiktaş facing Sivasspor on Monday. Sivasspor is probably going to be looking forward to at least trying to get something out of Beşiktaş. I believe that match might be played at the Recep Tayyip Erdogan Stadium. I believe it is the final match, the final home match, where Beşiktaş will have to play in front of women and children. They had that 4-match ban. So I believe that is going to be the final home game that they have to serve out there. And Gaziantepspor against Trabzonspor, a really good test to see what Sergen Yalçın can do in terms of coaching Gaziantepspor against Trabzonspor, who are right in the top five. So a pretty interesting week, but I think if we're going to have to pick one match of the week, my opinion will probably be Beşiktaş and Sivasspor. How does Beşiktaş, recover from the draw against Fenerbahçe in Kadıköy, and how does Sivasspor find any answers to this back-to-back losing streak that they have currently?
And will Beşiktaş continue that that three-goal streak? I mean, they've scored three goals in each of the last three matches, and they haven't lost a match in which they've scored, so a really tough task for Sivasspor there. I think my match of the weekend might be Bursaspor against Gençlerbirliği. I mean, you've got Bursa, they've scored in seven straight. You've got Gençlerbirliği, who've suffered a couple of really embarrassing losses the last couple of matches against relatively easy teams in Kayseri Erciyes and Gaziantepspor. And so, looking for some consolation from that. So I think that'll be a pretty good match. I'm also curious to see Gaziantepspor and Trabzonspor because the fact that, I was mentioning before that Trabzonspor really doesn't have a very good record on the road at all. They've only got one win, and that was against Kayserispor in week 5. And, Antepspor, they've had some pretty good success the last couple of matches, winning both of their last two matches by a score of 3-1. I think that'll be kind of an interesting one to see on Sunday there. But, obviously, some of these others are going to be spectacles, right? Like, will Galatasaray completely wallop Elazığspor, or will it be more interesting? We've certainly seen upsets in the Turkish Cup when we get to that. So there's no, you can't say we won't see more of them in the Super League. But Elazığspor, man, they scored 8 goals in the first 4 matches of the season, and they've scored 5 goals since. And they've given up 26 goals in the last 9 matches. So,
It might be a party for Galatasaray, which they could use. It's been a busy schedule with them, what with the Turkish Cup and the league's been a tight schedule. And then, of course, they've got to look forward to Juventus next week. So I'm guessing that, you know, they might be happy to go up a few goals and then make some choice substitutions, give some of the star players a rest.
Yes, that should be an interesting dynamic to watch out for in that match on Friday. And remember, we were talking about Konyaspor's embarrassing road record of 0 wins, 1 draw, and 5 losses. Well, like we said about Akhisar Belediyespor, you know, their home record is 4 wins, 1 draw, and 1 loss so far. So, you know, you've got one of the two teams that, you know, is worse than Akhisar Belediyespor when it comes to, you know, road matches facing Akhisar, who are doing way better at home than they are on the road. But
true.
We'll have to see what happens on that one.
Yeah, and of course, Akhisar looking to score their first goal in 5 matches this Sunday. So, you know, you might see some real attitude coming from the Akhisar players if they can get the goal scoring started up again.
All right, so that'll do it for this segment of Turkish Football Weekly this week. Coming up, we'll talk about the Turkish Cup 4th round, which featured a lot of upsets, and we'll speak briefly about Galatasaray's match against Juventus, and we've got some disciplinary stuff that we'll have to talk about as well, so stay tuned. And welcome back to Turkish Football Weekly. So the Turkish Cup 4th round has come to an end. And as we move on to the round of 16, there were several upsets that highlighted the round. The major one people were talking about was Fenerbahce losing to Fethiyespor 2-1 in Kadıköy. But some of the other upsets saw Trabzonspor losing to Balıkesirspor 3-1. Both Fethiyespor and Balıkesirspor in the PTT First Division, the second tier. İnegölspor, a second straight Super League team that they've upset, as they beat Gaziantepspor 3-2. And we reported previously that they beat Kasımpaşa in the 3rd round, and İnegölspor beats another Super League team. So good run for them going there. Gençlerbirliği losing to Nazilli Belediyespor. I believe that they are in the 2nd division, which is the 3rd tier of Turkish football, 1-0. Tokatspor of the Turkish Football Federation 2nd division beating Istanbul Büyükşehir Belediyespor of the PTT 1st division, 1-0. And earlier today, before we started recording this, Bucaspor in the PTT 1st division beating Beşiktaş 2-1. And some of the other Super League teams that moved on, one of them featured Galatasaray, but they had to go to a penalty shootout against Gaziantep Büyükşehir Belediyespor. So historically, the Turkish Cup has been where the Anatolian teams can be able to spring some upsets against, you know, the bigger clubs, you know, the Super League clubs, the top flight clubs. And, you know, we saw it in this round. And the funny thing is, you look at the table, 4 out of the top 5 in the standings of the Turkish Super League are out after this round of the Turkish Cup. So there's a little interesting observation there. But it just seems to me as though that when you see, you know, these larger clubs, these Super League clubs, I guess mostly we may be talking about the big three here. Maybe we could extend it to Trabzonspor, but I did look up Trabzonspor's lineup, and that seemed to me as if that was an A team or an A-minus team, considering owner Kıvrak didn't play in goal for Trabzonspor in their loss to Balıkesirspor. But you see that this happens basically mostly around the world, and, you know, you see this in Europe. You know, the bigger clubs, when it comes to the cup competitions, they usually send out the reserves, they usually send out youth players, and they don't take the Turkish Cup as seriously as some of these smaller clubs, in which this is probably their only way they're going to get a ticket into European competition. So the bigger clubs might think, okay, well, we could send out the, you know, the reserves, and you know, that should be enough. Well, it didn't work this time around for some of the clubs that I have mentioned. But anytime you see like a Turkish Cup game, it almost seems as though that the larger clubs treat this as kind of an afterthought. And obviously, you know, they pay, you know, their players good money, but it also seems as though that when you put out the reserves, I mean, they don't have the chemistry that you have with your A squad or, you know, the starting squad when it comes to the league. And historically, and this is really more for the international listeners, because I believe the Turkish listeners probably understand this better than anybody, the emphasis has always been placed on the top flight league. I mean, with the Turkish Cup, I mean, if you win it, okay, well, that's kind of a bonus, and, you know, it's great, you know, and even European success, it's really more of a bonus. Basically, the whole emphasis that these teams have is in the Super League. And, you know, treating this as sort of an afterthought, you know, we've seen Beşiktaş, we saw Trabzonspor, we saw Fenerbahçe, we saw Geçerbirli, and even Gaziantepspor treated as an afterthought, and, well, look what happened. They're now eliminated. But whether, you know, the bigger clubs take this seriously, maybe they look at it from the other side and say, well, at least there's one less thing to worry about here. So maybe they might think that, but at least we see that the magic of the cup is in the upsets.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of what you said is especially true for, like, for Fenerbahce fans, because they've recently, historically, had trouble winning the Turkish Cup, and especially fans of other big clubs, too, who, you know, kind of see the league as really the top prize. But, you know, for the likes of fans of Eskişehirspor, Antalyaspor, Bursaspor, like these kinds of teams where, you know, it's a real struggle to qualify for a European spot, and even so, things usually don't happen in Europe. To have an opportunity, you know, to try to get there with a little bit of, you know, with a trophy as well is kind of a nice thing to strive for, I think, definitely. And the way some of these teams, the way Beşiktaş played, it seemed like they were really in it, you know, for the win, and then they were just you know, completely dismantled by what was an absolutely wondrous individual effort from Ricketts of Bucaspor to unhand them 2-1 in that match, just as an example. But I didn't get the impression that Galatasaray didn't really want the win, although by the end of that penalty shootout, which was quite an extended penalty shootout, fans certainly were no longer on Galatasaray's side there, expecting better things. So, yeah, so let me just make that point. The Galatasaray fans, you know, they were booing Galatasaray at the end of that game because they expected more. So the fans expect the A game, whether or not the team, the management wants to put out their best players or their best effort is another question. But the fans certainly seem to demand it, although on the flip side, there weren't that many fans there, but I think the cup, when it comes down to it, is exciting because of these upsets. But, you know, we're going into the fifth round. There are only 16 teams left. Now these teams kind of stand a chance. If there was a time to start taking it seriously, now would be that time. But I think it's pretty interesting that of the 16 teams, only 10 of them come from the Super League, compared to last season when only 3 teams did not come from the Super League. And we've got 3 teams in the third tier of Turkish football. Inegilspor, Tokatspor, Nazilli Belediyespor. So I'll be really curious to see if they can survive the fifth round or if any of them can survive to the group stages.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the appeal of the cup, where you could see, like, the lower league teams spring an upset. You know, kind of like the FA Cup in England, for instance. That's always the magic of it. And unfortunately, we got group stages after the fifth round, I believe. I think that's how the format is being set up this year. But anyway, I guess we can move on from the Turkish Cup, unless you've got any final thoughts on the fourth round.
No, but other than that, I was able to catch a couple of the matches today, or glimpses of them, and they were thrilling. So don't let, to the listeners out there, don't let Atta get you down too much about the Turkish Cup. It's still a thrill ride.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of interested to see who will upset who at this point. That's really my main prerogative.
Well, so More power to you then.
Okay. We did have some suspensions handed out. Fenerbahce is actually going to get a one-match behind-closed-door sanction for their fourth violation this season for fan misbehavior. So, we've talked about fan misbehavior before. ad nauseum. It's like, what's the standard?
Well, what did they do specifically? What kind of
I don't know really what they did. I mean, I was watching the game, and I didn't see anything thrown on the field. I mean, except for that one fire thing on the roof of the stadium. I mean, did you see that at least? Did you see or a picture of that where, you know, part of the stadium roof at Sucre Sriracha was on fire?
I'm sorry. No, to answer your question, I didn't. But like, can you just like think about the sentence you just said, and then like think about it from the perspective of like an American who doesn't follow this sport? Let's say, you know, just like, oh, there wasn't really anything that bad. Just part of the roof was on fire, but that was it. Like,
I don't know. I mean, it was just a normal booing, you know, insults. I mean, maybe it's just for the insults of the other team and things like
that. The normal occasional incendiary event, the couple of flares, just a fire. Nothing real major, just a fire.
Yeah, well, I guess, there was like a fire on the roof on the top of the stadium. But look, I think somebody said on League TV broadcast it might have been a cable or something, but... you know, nobody got hurt, so everybody is fine.
What is it but with Fenerbahce? Why are Fenerbahce fans always lighting Sucre Sriracha on fire? It seems to happen like every other season.
Don't ask me.
Okay.
But some suspensions handed out. Fenerbahce's Raul Mireles is going to get a 2-match suspension for a studs to the thigh tackle on Beşiktaş's Veli Kavlak. And we talked about Pape So and Serdar Aziz earlier. Both of them get 3-match suspensions for their scuffle during the Elazığspor versus 4 match the previous week, as we had talked about. And I believe both of those, Serdar Aziz and Mireles, served one of their games in the Turkish Cup, because I believe that direct red cards do count in terms of the Turkish Cup. So Mireles will probably just miss Fenerbahce's game against Rizespor. That'll be the end of his suspension. And then Serdar Aziz will have to serve this weekend for Bursaspor against Gençlerbirliği, and then the following league match, and that'll be it. Elazığspor is still in the Turkish Cup, as far as I know, right?
Yeah, that's correct. In fact, all three relegation teams are still in the Turkish Cup.
Yeah. So obviously missed Elazığspor's match. And then he'll probably have to serve out this weekend and the following weekend in the league matches that Elazığspor has. You know, obviously Elazığspor has Galatasaray at the Türk Telekom Arena this coming Friday. But what did you think about the So and Serdar Aziz suspensions? We were talking about that before recording of the podcast. I didn't really see where... Maybe they might have thrown punches, like I said earlier, or something like that, that the camera didn't catch. But 3 matches... I don't know. Maybe 2 would be okay. I mean, 3 would probably be like the absolute maximum I would give for like a normal direct red card.
Right. And
for
Raul Mireles gets only 2 matches. Yet he, you know, studs to the thigh. I mean, that. You know,
I'm okay with
him getting 2 matches. What I'm not okay with is, you know, it was not even really that big a deal of a scuffle. You know, between Pape Sal and Serdar Aziz, but and the 3 matches, I mean, I don't really get it. Maybe it's got to do with intent, right? Because, like, if you get into a little bit of a scuffle with somebody, that's, like, easier to control than if you're kind of going in for the ball or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I tweeted earlier this week that if Mireles got more than 3, if he got more than 2 or 3 matches, that would probably be criminal because, you know, the studs to the thigh, I mean, that happens. I mean, things like that happen, and obviously you get a direct red card, and, you know, 99 times out of 100, that is a direct red card. I mean, I didn't have a problem with him getting ejected from the game with a direct red card, and, you know, 2 matches seems pretty fair, but I think I want to take your position on the So and Aziz suspensions. You know, maybe it was with intent, or maybe with a scuffle that might be easier to punish them for 3 matches instead of, you know, just giving them 2.
Yeah, it just seemed like, first of all, I didn't even think they'd read cards, like you were saying as well. And they were, you know, getting set up to defend
or waiting for a free kick to come in. And you know how it is when you got like 20 people sort of all crowded in next to each other. There's sometimes some pushing and shoving, and the ref has to kind of step in, particularly on corner kicks, although this was not a corner kick, but like we've all seen that happen. And yeah, I think it was Pape Sau who kind of started it, if you will. And it was ugly and unnecessary, but it didn't even look really violent. It just looked like one of those things where stop the match, maybe pull them off to the side, show them each a yellow card, and tell them that they don't have any chances left. You know, that the next infraction is going to be another yellow or maybe a red or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, there was kind of a more reasonable way of dealing with that situation.
Interesting point. I think we can move on to a bit of a preview about Galatasaray and Juventus. We're not going to really emphasize Trabzonspor Lazio that much. You know, that match is going to be played in Rome because both Lazio and Trabzonspor have qualified for the knockout rounds of the Europa League. It's just really more of whether Trabzonspor or Lazio finishes first or second in the group. So,
right. Well, and, I mean, Trabzon has 13 points, Lazio 11, so they pretty much just got to come away with a draw if they can. But I think it'll be an interesting matchup nonetheless. I don't know how much of an advantage winning the group versus qualifying as second in the group is really going to make. It might not make any difference, honestly. So,
there is the reason that if you're one of the group winners, you get to avoid one of the falling teams from the Champions League. But I think it depends on where Trabzonspor will be seated and their club coefficient. So that's really going to be a factor if they do win the group. Now, whether they do win the group, it remains to be seen, but if they drop down to second, well, they're still in the knockout rounds, and, you know, we're all going about league coefficients and all that other stuff,
right.
So at least it gives the chance for Turkey to bump up its coefficient, like I talked about with Khan last week. But at the end of the day, you're still through to the knockout round, but it depends on whether you finish first or second. If you finish second in the group, well, then you might get a Champions League team or one of the clubs which has a much higher club coefficient than Trabzonspor or any of the other group winners would have, or any of the other second place finishers in the group would have.
Yeah,
so
that's true. I did just read the rules about that now, and you're right. I mean, the group winners get seeded with the fallen teams from the Champions League. So that could make a pretty big difference, but it's not as big of a deal, obviously, as the upcoming Galatasaray match against Juventus.
Right, and it's basically Galatasaray has to win to move on in the Champions League. Although I was looking at the standings earlier this week, both Galatasaray and FC Copenhagen both have 4 points. So Real Madrid, I guess they're probably going to put out a B team against Copenhagen and rest everybody up. I mean, that's what I'm expecting.
I think Real Madrid's B team could probably still take FC Copenhagen, given that Real Madrid with 10 men could handle Galatasaray pretty easily, too. Although, I mean, keep in mind, Real Madrid did draw Juventus on the road, so maybe they'll draw Copenhagen on the road, too. But I see what you're getting at. If they somehow won, if Copenhagen somehow won and Galatasaray won or some weird scenario, it's technically not impossible for Copenhagen to still qualify or to still get a third, to finish in third place. Or
yeah, I mean, what I was getting at was if Galatasaray draws and yet Copenhagen loses to Real Madrid, well, then Galatasaray moves on in the Europa League. Now, if Galatasaray beats Juventus, then Galatasaray moves on in the Champions League. So obviously it's a must-win for them. Now, if, you know, Juventus wins and Real Madrid wins, well then Galatasaray, due to the fact that they have the better head-to-head record against FC Copenhagen, their European adventures still continue. It's just that they drop down to the Europa League instead of continuing on to the Champions League. Because both of them have 4 points, but Galatasaray has the better head-to-head record due to the, I believe it's the head-to-head goals.
Yeah, exactly. So I see what you're getting at. You're saying Galatasaray could be eliminated altogether if Copenhagen pulls off a draw and Galatasaray lose. Then they'd finish bottom of the group, which we definitely want to avoid. I mean, I think there's no doubt about it. I mean, they're going for the win. You want to stay in the Champions League at all costs. It's a home match, Turk Telekom Arena for Galatasaray. They did get a draw on the road when they played Juventus, so
they must feel like they're capable of taking on the Italian side, but their performance in the league lately hasn't exactly been stellar, I would say. So,
and also, you know, the Turkish Cup, let's not forget, they struggled against Gaziantep Büyükşehirbelediyespor. They were up 2-0, and then Gaziantep Büyükşehirbelediyespor came back to level the score, and it took them a penalty shootout to beat, you know, GBB, as I'll call them.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to say it all, but...
yeah.
But yeah, GBB took them to penalties, so Galatasaray has just been in limbo. So, you know, with the different situations, you know, coming up, you know, Galatasaray basically has to win, but they also have to keep an eye out in the Real Madrid FC Copenhagen match, because quite possibly Galatasaray could be eliminated from Europe altogether if the results shake out in a certain way. Because if Copenhagen draw Real Madrid, who, let's put it this way, everybody and their mothers expects Real Madrid to put out a B team because they've won the group. If Copenhagen draw and Galatasaray loses against Juventus, well, then Galatasaray is pretty much out of Europe completely. But if Galatasaray draw and Copenhagen loses against Real Madrid, well, then that's enough. So, yeah, Galatasaray is going to be going for the win. Now, whether Fernando Muslera comes back from that toe injury, well, we're going to have to see what happens there, because as much as I kind of wanted to praise Eray Işcan, you know, the last time we were talking about him in terms of the Champions League, you know, the defense was absolutely poor for Galatasaray. And, you know, Juventus have got a lot of firepower up front. You know, Arturo Vidal, that guy's no joke. I mean, I know you said you had a friend who was a Juve fan.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said that when Juve is backed into a corner, they usually play at their best, you know, and Galatasaray, I would say the same for them too, but, you know, Juve, the dynamic there of Juve having to go on the road against Galatasaray, and that place will be rocking, the TT Arena, will be rocking, just in the hope that Galatasaray should continue on their European adventure. Now, whether it's the Champions League or the Europa League, does it really matter? Well, maybe in terms of the money and the prestige, obviously Galatasaray would like to continue on in the Champions League, but I would think if they drop down to the Europa League, I think they probably wouldn't mind that, because at least they still
They stand a better chance.
European glory.
Yeah.
They're in contention for European glory.
That's true. I mean, because if Galatasaray survive and they remain in the Champions League, it's hard to see them surviving another round, really. But, I mean, they could, you know. Crazier things have happened. So that match with Juventus is happening on Tuesday, December the 10th, is when both of those matches in Group B are happening there with Real Madrid and Copenhagen as well. So just given sort of the range of possible outcomes or fates, you know, for the likes of Galatasaray, Juventus, and Copenhagen, it'll be really interesting to see how that all shakes out. I think Tuesday will be an exciting day, you know, whether or not you're a Galatasaray fan or whatever, you know, just kind of see, yeah, are they gonna remain in Europe, and if so, Europa League or Champions League?
Right. To be quite honest, I expect Galatasaray to still be in Europe at some level. It's just a matter of, well, if they lose against Juventus, they kind of got to hope that Copenhagen has lost against Real Madrid in order to drop down to the Europa League. Because, you know, if Galatasaray loses against Juventus and then Copenhagen somehow gets at least a draw out of, you know, Real Madrid, well, then Galatasaray is out of Europe completely. And that would be even way worse for, you know, a fan base that expected a lot more this season.
Yeah, that's for sure. And you know, it's nice to have that excuse when you're not doing very well in the league to say, well, we're really just focused right now on making money in the Champions League. Or if you're not doing very well in the Champions League, to say, well, we're really just focusing on trying to be the champion in the league. But right now, Galatasaray they're not that convincing in sort of either arena, right? They got to find success somewhere to kind of appease the fans.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so I think that will do it for this edition of Turkish Football Weekly this week. Jeremy, welcome back, and thank you again for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Sorry my voice is a little bit off today, but it was a thrill ride as always, and take care.
You don't have any of that Turkish tea?
You know what? I actually don't right now. I've got Turkish friends who have Turkish tea, though. I should probably go hit them up.
Are you sure it's the Chaikur brand?
You know, they've been getting a lot of advertising lately with all the yellow cards, but I don't know which brand my friend has.
Yeah, I think the Turkish tea will probably help your voice out. It's either that or green tea. Green tea is also good for the vocal cords.
Perfect. Well, if I don't have any Turkish tea for the next time my voice is like this, I do believe I have some Turkish rakı. So well,
that's even better.
Yeah, one or the other, right?
One or the other, exactly. So thank you for listening to Turkish Football Weekly this week, and we will see you all next time.